الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقد قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين صدق الله العظيم Ulama Ikram, respected brothers in Islam. Over the past 2-3 weeks we have been discussing honesty, truthfulness, fulfillment of trust. Last week we discussed the ayat of the Quran Sharif in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala severely condemns and very severely reprimands and warns those people who, when they have to receive by weight and measure, then they exact full measure. But when they have to give in return, then they commit fraud. They give less than what is due. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala warns them of the day of judgment, on which day they will have to be answerable for their doings, on which day Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is going to mete out justice, and the person will have to pay for the sins that he has committed. Even though he may have escaped the sight of his friends, of his family, of the society, of the police, and of any other department. So we discussed that this weight and measure, it has great implications. In today's discussion, we will follow the same theme and discuss what is amanat. Of course, this subject also requires many, many hours, and still we cannot do justice. But many times I have related and quoted the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ayatul munafiqi salas, iza haddasa kazaba, wa iza wa'ada akhlaf, wa iza u'tumina khan. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the ayat or the signs of a munafiq, of a hypocrite, are three. That when he speaks lies. When he makes promises, then he breaks the promise. And when he is entrusted, then he betrays the trust. He does not fulfill the terms and obligations of the trust, according to Islamic law and Sharia. So this is something that is linked to that same subject that we are discussing. Imagine Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is using such a harsh term. If we have to call somebody hypocrite or munafiq, the person will get very angry. He will want to fight. He will want to retaliate. He will say, who are you to call me a hypocrite? Now here, rahmatul lil alameen, mercy unto all the worlds, mercy unto the black and the white, rich and poor, young and old, parents and children, husbands and wives, nations. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a mercy unto all. Even the worlds of the fish, of the animals, of the creatures. So a person who is rahmatul lil alameen, who did not know what harsh language was, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was ever forgiving, loving, caring, overlooking. But if he has to use such harsh term as hypocrite or munafiq, then a person who has got love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he should die with shame if he has to indulge in any of those things. Because what kind of a love is that for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that you are a hypocrite, and this person says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I love you. It is like the beloved telling the lover that I don't love you because you have got signs of hypocrisy in you. You are claiming to be my lover, but you have got signs of hypocrisy in you. So the beloved is saying that to the lover. So the lover can make any amount of claims, but that love will not be true love. Because the lover, just as he loves the beloved has to also love the lover. That is what we all know in the world of romance, which this world is so common with. But we must link all these things to muhabbat of Allah and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Get out of this love of Layla and Majnoon. Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi has not mentioned all the incidents of Layla and Majnoon. They're just to tell us stories and make us enjoy the stories and have a good time. He has mentioned those stories so that we may understand what true love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is. To turn our hearts from the love of Layla to the love of Mawla. That is why Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned those incidents. Yes, one's own wife, love her as much as you want. Allah Ta'ala will reward you. But we are talking about the illicit love. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that this person is a hypocrite. He has got signs of hypocrisy in him. The person who when he speaks lies. The person who promises and breaks his promises. That means purposely. The person has got no intention of fulfilling that promise, but he's making a promise. We are not talking about just emergencies or certain circumstances beyond the person's control. We are talking about genuine intention of not fulfilling those promises. And thirdly, when the person is trusted, then he betrays that trust. He is made an ameen. Amanat is given to him. And this person betrays the trust. Now the only thing that we know is that if a person gave me 1,000 rands, then I must keep it safely. And when he asks for the 1,000 rands, then I must return it. And we say this person is very, very amanatdar. Very trustworthy person. But that is not all. We have to understand one thing very clearly, that Allah Ta'ala has got the rights of Himself, which we term as huququllah, and the rights of His bandas, huququl ibad. And when we are talking of bandas, then Allah Ta'ala has not mentioned my bandas who are Muslims only. When we are talking about fulfillment of the rights of Allah Ta'ala's bandas, huququl ibad, then it is not only the rights of those people who are Muslims. And the creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, whether the person is Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jew or anything, but there are certain rights and duties and obligations that a person has to fulfill even of those people. For example, if it is in trade, then there is no question of deceiving that person, or commonly used term taking him for a ride, just because he is not a Muslim. The person will be questioned. The Muslim has got many other rights. There are much more rights that the Muslim enjoys over the Muslim. But there are certain things which even the non-Muslims, they have a right. So here, one is huququl ibad, and the other is huququllah. Now many of us take it for granted that when we're talking about huququl ibad, then it is not the haqq of Allah. Whereas in huququl ibad, there are two rights. In huququllah, there is one right, and that is the right of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There Allah ta'ala, out of His mercy and kindness, if the person sincerely repents, there are certain sins that if he makes tawbah, Allah ta'ala will forgive. But when it comes to huququl ibad, then it's not one right that the person is violating, he's violating two rights now. Because the huququl ibad became huququl ibad on account of Allah ta'ala's hukam. Very few people know this, that huququl ibad is not just huququl ibad, the rights of the creation of Allah, the rights of the servants of Allah. Huququl ibad has become huququl ibad because of the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it is the right of the servants of Allah ta'ala, or it is a duty, an obligation, a responsibility upon the servants of Allah ta'ala to fulfill the hukam of Allah. That is the right that Allah ta'ala enjoys. So here when the person is violating the rights of his servants, when he is deceiving, when he is speaking lies, when he is taking false oath and qasam, and he is grabbing property that does not rightfully belong to him, or he is taking inheritance illegally, which shariat-wise is not due to him, then he is not only violating the right of that human being, that Muslim person or anyone, he is also violating the right of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so he is committing double sin. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam laid so much of emphasis on this. If we have to look at the books of fiqh and jurisprudence, if we have to divide it into four parts, take hidayah or take any other kitab of jurisprudence, if we have to divide it into four parts, then it is just one quarter that you will find that deals with namaz, roza, zakat and hajj. The other three quarters deal with relationship, business, transactions, dealings, social life, etiquette, morals, character, behavior, so many things, punishment, reward, all those things, the three quarter deals with that. But unfortunately, most of us are fully satisfied when we get a little bit of namaz in our lives. When we get a little bit of namaz, we say that this person is a deendar person. Indeed, without namaz, there is no deen. Those people who say, well, there are so many people that make namaz and they cheat and they deceive and they do this and do that. So I always say this, that we will say that they are committing two sins, or they are committing one sin, that at least they're making namaz. The other sin they are committing, they must make tawbah and they must make amends. But the person who's not making namaz too and is cheating is committing double crime. So there is no deen without namaz. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said the position of deen, namaz in deen is like the head in the human body. A person who is deaf, who is dumb, who is blind and who is also paralyzed, but he can still be a living person. A person can be deaf, dumb, blind and paralyzed, but he is still a living person. But we have never heard of a person who does not have a head and we say that he is a living person. That person is genuinely dead. And the only place that he should be put in is under the ground. So the person who doesn't have namaz in his life, according to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person doesn't even have deen in his life. There is no deen. But that is another subject. Something that we always take it for granted. The person makes no namaz, but he is very honest, very truthful, he deals very correctly in his business. So we say very pious person, very good Muslim, but no namaz. So in the eye of the people he could be good, but in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala he is still a criminal. So without namaz there is no deen, but only namaz is also not sufficient. Here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that la imana liman la salata lah, that there is no iman in the person's life if he has got no salat. If there is no five time namaz, then he has got no iman. That is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says. Therefore, Hazrat Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi was following the Hanbali sect. And their fatwa is this, that the person who does not make five time namaz, or the person who neglects even one namaz willfully, without any valid reason, the person has made his namaz qaza, because of football or cricket that he is watching, or he is engaged in business activities or any other purpose, and the person is just foregoing the salat, is not even concerned, then he says that this person has died on kufr if he dies and don't even perform his janazah salat. We are grateful to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi that he says that, no, what it means here, that this person is not a true Muslim. But he too says, put them into prison. So there is no deen without salat, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, or there is no iman without salat, but he also says, wala deen liman la amanata la, and the person who does not fulfill trust, he is not trustworthy, then he has got no deen in him. So this amanat, it also has a very wide implication. It is not only just keeping some goods in the possession of someone and then claiming it, the person returns it fully, that's not amanat. Our eyes are amanat, our ears are amanat, our tongues are amanat, our feet and hands are amanat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. Allah ta'ala knows those people who are betraying this trust of the eyes. They are making khayanat of the eyes. They are seeing haram things with their eyes. Allah ta'ala knows. And khayanat is the opposite of amanat. So if this eye was not an amanat, Allah ta'ala would not have used the word khayanat. So just as this eye is an amanat, the ears are amanat, the tongues are amanat, every part of the body is an amanat, it's a trust, it's a machine that has been given by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's government to us to use it for a specific purpose. Use it for reading the Quran Sharif, use the eyes for looking at your parents, use it for looking at the Kaaba Sharif, use it to look at the jungles, the forests, the fish of the sea. see the mountains, beautiful scenery, but what Allah Ta'ala has declared as haram, restrain the eyes from that, then this person is fulfilling the trust of the eyes that Allah Ta'ala has given in his hands. The same with the ears, with the tongue. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has prohibited, whatever Allah has declared as haram, then this person restrains himself from that, no matter how much of pain comes onto his heart for restraining himself. But he believes that it is my Allah who has given it to me as a trust, so therefore I must not betray this trust. So if this person is betraying this trust, whether it is of the eyes, of the ears, of the hands, of the feet, and even of his own intelligence, which Allah Ta'ala gave him that intelligence, he did not give him to sit and plan ways and means of deceiving, of robbing, of shooting, of killing, of murdering, of committing zina, and all kinds of plans the person's intelligence is hatching, that how he can commit computer fraud, and how he can unravel all the other people's codes, all those kinds. The intelligence was not for that. The intelligence Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also gave as an amanat to this person. Now if he is misusing this, then he is also betraying this trust, and he falls under that same category which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam refers to as munafiq and hypocrite. So if a person is watching haram and he's enjoying the haram, the lustful glances that he is casting, or if he is using his intelligence to hatch up plots and ways and means of scheming and deceiving and cheating and robbing and looting, or murdering and killing, or if this person is using his ears to listen to the haram music and all the other things that are declared haram, or his tongue to take false oath and qasam, then this person also falls in that same category of munafiq. That means if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was alive, and this person had to go, and he is informing Nabi, or people have to inform Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that this person is indulging in all these actions and deeds, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will say that you are a munafiq. Imagine the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, وَإِن صَامَ وَصَلَّى. Even if that person fasts in the month of Ramadan and he makes his namaz, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that whosoever has these three characteristics, that the person, when he speaks lies, when he makes promises, he breaks the promises, and when he is entrusted, then he betrays the trust, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that this person is a hypocrite. In one other hadith, he says that if when the person argues, then at that time he starts using vulgar language. And whosoever has any one of these traits, then he's got one trait of a munafiq. And the person who has got all four, then he's got complete munafiq traits. But Nabi alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another hadith, he says, وَإِن صَامَ وَصَلَّى. That even if this person is making namaz and he is fasting, then too in my sight, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, and in the sight of Allah, this person is a hypocrite, he's a munafiq. And we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the people who troubled him the most in Madina Sharif were the munafiqs. Because they were dual-faced. On the one hand, wherever it was their benefit, at that time they said, we are Muslims, we believe in Allah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And wherever they thought that they are going to lose out by following Sharia and following Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then they suddenly, they told the people in the quiet that we haven't believed, it is just to bluff and deceive these people. So it means that these people have also got the same traits of the munafiq, that wherever they seem to be gaining by speaking a lie, where they seem to be gaining by taking a false oath and qasam, where they seem to be gaining by speaking vulgar language, or where they seem to be gaining by cheating and deceiving and harming somebody, then they are prepared to accept that as part of their lifestyle. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this person, even if he is praying, if he is making namaz and he is fasting, then too in the eye of Allah he is a munafiq. And then he even goes further than that. وَإِن ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ مُسْلِمٌ. That even if he considers himself as a Muslim, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that I don't consider him as a Muslim. Brothers, I mentioned this in the beginning also, that we should die with shame, we should drown ourselves in the ocean of shame, that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not prepared to accept us, then with what face we will stand on the day of Qiyamah and say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, I was taking your name and I was reading Durood Sharif upon you, and I was praying five times a day in the masjid, in the first saf, and I also had your garb upon my body, and I had other distinguishing features of Islam. Now give me from the jam of Kawthar. Give me with your Mubarak hands that water of Kawthar. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that you've believed and you declared yourself as a Muslim and you prayed and you kept fast and you may have had a beard, but what about those traits that I declared 1400 years ago, or declared years ago, that if you have those traits, then you are a munafiq, you are a hypocrite. So indeed, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is an interceder. And we have got great hopes that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will intercede on behalf of the sinners. And that is what we are hoping on, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam must intercede on our behalf, because what good deeds do we really have that we can claim that they are pure and clean and solely for the pleasure of Allah that we undertook them. Our namazas do not have that ruh and soul and spirit. Our fasting does not have it. Our zakat does not have it. Our hajj has become a big joke. Right by the roza of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the person is standing and he's saying, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then from there he goes to his hotel room and he's shaving his beard clean. And yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he turned his face away like that from two non-Muslims who were sent to him as ambassadors. He turned his face away and he was so hurt. And he asked them that, who asked you to shave? He said, our master. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, but my master has asked that I must lengthen my beard and shave the moustache. So if you have to keep one fist length beard and keep it trimmed properly and keep it clean and neat, then what harm will it cause? So what I am saying is that these traits that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared, he said that those are signs of munafiq. That when the person is given a trust, then he betrays that trust. So one part of the trust is the eyes, the ears, the nose, the hands, the feet, and the intelligence of this person also. Most of the crimes which are committed today, if a person has to steal a 10 rand thing from our business, then we say he's a rogue, ye chor hai. But when we sit, or when intelligent people sit, and they commit millions of rands of fraud, then at that time in the walimas and in the majlises and in the meetings and all that, and if they are trustees of masjids, or if they are trustees of organizations, then at that time every person respects that person. Nobody will say he's a rogue. Why? Because he has used his intelligence and committed a master crime. And that person committed a crime which everybody saw 10 rands he stole. Brothers, both are, in fact this is worse. If you have to read the newspapers, what do they talk about the white collar crime? Now this white collar crime, you think all these people are stupid and foolish? That they just stole money just like that? All white collar crime, it is the use of the intelligence of the person. If the person does not know computers and he does not know the world market and he does not know all the economy of the time and he does not know about banking and all the rest of the things, then this person, and he does not know about the laws of the government with regards to insolvency and liquidation and all that, then this person cannot commit such crimes. But I repeat that sometimes a person is genuinely in problem. He is genuinely in problem and he cannot survive and he has to liquidate or go insolvent. Then at that time we sympathize with that person, provided he has got every intention that my creditors have to be paid by my selling my house, by selling my cars, and if I have to ride a bicycle, if I have to go to walk, I have to walk to work, or I have to catch the bus to work, I will do it. But I make every niyat and intention of making sure that my creditors are paid. Then we pity that person, we sympathize with that person. And not only that, the angels of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make dua for that person, that oh Allah, bless this person with so much of halal risk and sustenance, that before his death, he finds that all his creditors are paid. What a blessing. Now those are the genuine ones. But what we are seeing in the world today, and whenever I talk, I don't talk about any particular person in mind. It is all general situation of South Africa and the world. So brothers, that is one part of amanat that we have to bring into our lives. That use our eyes correctly, our ears correctly, our tongues correctly, our intelligence correctly, our heart and mind correctly. There are many other things related to this subject. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives life, health and an opportunity, then inshallah we will continue. May Allah ta'ala give me first of all the tawfiq to practice, and all of you and the entire ummat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.